is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Central Bank, City of Hope, Collect, National Workers Cooperative Credit Union, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, and Sun Oil Limited.
And good afternoon, good day, happy Monday. This is Z Live on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And no, this is not Chivago. This is Pearly in the house. You got me all week, people. You got me all week. Let's have a good time this week. And let's clear up some things for our countries. So I hope everybody's doing good today. It is so good to be here with you. We're going to get right into it. I have a special guest joining me in a second. But just before that, let's take a quick look at the headlines and see what's going on. Immigration corruption claims. Pintat sounds alarm, but Monroe fires back. Two behemoths reportedly killed in Haiti. Vertical Blue returns to Long Island. And government signs deal with Chinese to fund new hospital. Interesting listening to Howard Show a little while ago. GB Ministry offers GBPC technical assistance amid power outages. Principal Geneva Brass, seafood still profitable despite being Carnival Gives Celebration Key preview ahead of Saturday. But I heard he had a really good time on the weekend. Focal reports 2025 mid-year net income of $20.1 million. Whoa! So how everybody doing out there? I hope you all are doing well. Had a wonderful weekend. Had a wonderful Independence weekend, I call it. Happy Independence again. But I have a special guest, and let's get right into it. My special guest today is the former Minister of Foreign Affairs under the previous Free National Movement government, former Member of Parliament for North Abaco, the newly ratified candidate for the Free National Movement in South Beach, Darren Senator, the Honorable Darren Henville. Welcome to Z Live on Guardian Radio. How are you today, sir?
Good afternoon, Earl. It's good to be with you on Z Live today, and I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
So you now, and before we get into anything, I want to talk a little bit about your press conference yesterday. But before we get into that, let me ask you a quick question. How's it been going? What do you're now in South Beach? How has that been? How's the reception been? Are you down on the street? Are you working? Are you underground yet?
Well, we've been working since the night we were ratified, and we're busy now trying to get our headquarters ready for opening and to receive the public. In South Beach in particular. We have been warmly received everywhere we've gone and canvassed. People in South Beach are excited about the potential of what a new candidate and a new F&M administration can bring to their community and for their community. They all tell me how they've been neglected over the past. We aim to listen more deliberately to them and their concerns. And we aim to work on their behalf. We have come to work for them. They are the boss, and we intend to listen to what our bosses say.
Well, let me ask you the tough question. You know, some of the criticisms we've been getting is that some of the former members of the past administration are now running yourself, Michael Folks, Marvin Dames, Elsway Johnson, and others. And they're saying, well, ain't nothing changed. It's the same old, same old. What would be your response to that?
I find it, forgive me for interrupting, but I find it a very curious observation in that those of us who served in the last administration served for 4 years and 3 months, to be precise. We have seen iterations of the Progressive Liberal Party where they have had people serving now for 30 years, some of them off and on, and they return. But I appreciate that the F&M is held to a higher standard, and I believe that is the trust placed in us by the Bahamian people to act in their interest when we're in office. So, you know, there's a small pool of people who are willing to put themselves forward in this political arena in the Bahamas, but there's some who still believe that we have quite a bit more to offer. And so we put ourselves forward to serve the Bahamian people, and the Bahamian people will be the judge on whether or not they will hire us again to serve them.
Thank you very much. So yesterday, the Free National Movement, led by Michael Pintard, had a press conference where the leader of the opposition has put out some corruption claims. And I'm going to quote The Guardian this morning on this. It says, Free National Movement FNM leader Michael Pintard yesterday raised the alarm about alleged corruption in the country's broken immigration system as he called on government officials to provide answers on alleged allegations that there has been an unexplained surge in the number of people issued national insurance cards and sharp rise in work permit applications.
Yeah. It was curious to me. Mm-hmm. Firstly, let me commend our leader for a fine presentation of the program that the FNM and policies, some of the policies that the FNM intend to employ if we are blessed to become the next government of the Bahamas as we aim to fix this immigration problem. I thought he did a wonderful job of explaining to the Bahamian people some of the issues that we have. It is our duty as an opposition, His Majesty's loyal opposition, to speak the voices of those who cannot speak for themselves. Our leader spoke the voices that speak to him daily, that say to him that there is a broken trust in immigration, that immigration is also absent of the law, it appears, in some cases. Well, we've seen obvious cases of political interference in immigration. I'm sure we can get into some of that as we go. And so the leader presented to this country, to Bahamians everywhere, who speak to you, who speak to me, who speak to others who are listening to us now, every day, about perhaps witnessing someone with a Bahamian passport who cannot audibly speak a lick of English, right? These are concerns for Bahamians about people getting work permits, which seems to be on a regular basis now by those who sponsor them, who are in no position to sponsor anyone to receive a work permit. Mm-hmm. And we believe that more has to be done to justify the issuance of Bahamian documents, passports, work permits, NIB cards. More must be done to justify that, because if we are not following the law, then something is wrong in our country and we aim to fix it.
Okay. The government promised a comprehensive migration report, I think back in, if I remember, 2023. Yet we have not seen this report. What would the FNM government do to ensure that we see this or it appears?
I think it was more than 60 Asian workers in a hotel downtown, mm-hmm. by immigration officials. The government indicated discovery and thereafter the release. Those people were arrested, as they rightly should have been, by immigration officers. They were arrested, taken to the detention center, our understanding is, and then they were ordered released by ministers of the government, no less than two, right? And so the government promised, as it often does, following the moorings discovery, following the police corruption discoveries, the government promised that they would produce a comprehensive report, which is still outstanding. Nothing came forward from it. And we promised yesterday that immediately upon our return to office, as soon as possible, we will release that report to see what went wrong and to see what the issues are. How are we providing citizenship? How are we giving them out? How are we doing permanent residencies? How people are getting passports who can't speak English. All of these things are concerning to us. How are people getting NIB cards? I heard a somewhat of a farcical explanation last night about the number of persons coming to the Bahamas to work, or persons who are working and are avoiding NIB. Well, Bahamians are given NIB cards, I believe, upon their birth. They're given a number. And those who come to work with proper work permits are given. And so we didn't. That explanation didn't fly well with us. But we intend to be more transparent in the way that we deal with issues like immigration and other things that are going on in the country that the Bahamians have a right to know about.
Okay. You know what's going on in the United States with President Trump, who's cracking down heavily on his immigration reform is tremendous. How will you influence U.S. Homeland Security to review deportation cases when you're not in, when the FNM is not in power? How do you? I mean, and I'm asking you because I know you're former Minister of Foreign Affairs. I'm asking you this: how will you influence U.S. Homeland Security? Because we know it was supposed to be coming in September.
We whilst in office, had a very good working relationship with the United States of America. We believe that America remains our most important strategic partner on matters of security and economy, economic affairs in the Bahamas. ICE worked closely with our immigration department and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs whilst we were in office, and they would send names of persons to be deported. We would vet those names to see if they in fact were bona fide Bahamians, as far as we could tell, birth certificates, passports, or whatever nexus they had, documentation that they were rightfully to be returned to the Bahamas. As Minister of Foreign Affairs, I can tell you that I denied one or two of those because I didn't feel the officials and I did not see a clear enough attachment to the Bahamas. If you say you were born in the Bahamas, you were taken out as a child, you have nobody living in the Bahamas, no aunts, no uncles, no relatives that you can name, your parents are deceased. We could not verify anything to show that you had a right to be returned to the Bahamas as a deportee. And so we denied one or two of those. But that happens on a daily basis. But appreciating what is going on now, the policy of the United States of America now is clear. I think I heard something like 500,000 to be deported. Some of those invariably will end up in the Bahamas if they're not doing so. And this is something the government should speak to. I mean, if we were in office, you know, the thing to do to allay affairs of Bahamas is that we're not receiving people who ought not be here. Government officials, whomever you choose, should speak to what is happening, what we anticipate happening, how are we going to resettle these people when they come to the Bahamas, which is their rightful place to be if they prove that they are Bahamians.
Okay.
And so we will work very closely. We will keep the country informed, neighbors, our strategic partners, to ensure. You know, technology has a way, and advanced countries have access to far more technology than we do. Technology has a way of you know, smoking out the ghost,
okay,
as my old pastor used to say. And to help us verify, in some instances, the information that is being sent to us, information that we know, there should be an open policy of sharing information with strategic partners like the United States and Homeland Security. Because no country that shares a border, I've said this before, and I'll say it over and over again, as a person with a master's in security studies, no country with shared borders can secure their country without firm and full cooperation with those with whom they share borders. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, pretty much so. Leader Pintard said yesterday, and we've been hearing this talk around town, and this has been talked that we have a lot of people coming in with work permits already in their hands. There's a killing. And you're saying consultants made a profit from this system that's in place now.
One of the issues we have is that, and we are skeptical about what the government is saying, one of the issues we have is that work permits ought not be granted to anyone whilst they're in country. That should be worked out where they make applications. Say if we use Haiti, for instance, applications should be made through the proper channels. The embassy in Haiti, if it's able to, should facilitate applications where they can assist the government in determining whether or not a person should be allowed to come to the Bahamas to work. Those applications should be made outside of the country. What we fear and what we believe, verily believe, is the allegations are that people are here and then work permits are applied for. That is not the way it ought to be done.
But there's a big backlog right now. How are you going to plan to clear that up?
There's a big backlog which we must look deliberately at with a committee, an oversight committee. The leader spoke to yesterday, an oversight committee that would look into immigration matters. You know, we've called for a committee to look into immigration matters on more than one occasion. And every turn we've been rebuffed by the government. Every said no to an oversight committee. And what we wanted was a committee not only made up of parliamentarians, but of people also from civil society, people who have an interest in how the Bahamas goes and grows. And so we wanted independent oversight on how these things are done. We don't believe that it's happening now. We believe that consultants have direct access with very little oversight. And we don't know, Bahamians don't know really who all we're permitting to come into the Bahamas with work permits and how they're being acquired.
Okay, we have a caller on the air. Let's take our first caller. Caller, you on the air. How are you doing today?
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Minister.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah. I just want to make a statement and then, right, or a little comment, and then I have a question I would like for you to address, right? And then I'll hang up and listen, right? Now, I hear you mention that immigration them discovered the Chinese immigrants inside the British colonial, right? Well, that right there, it wasn't the immigration them who discovered them. It was the coalition of the independents who had that circulating all around until it became embarrassing to the government. All right? So let me just move on. Right? Now, the question is this. Could you comment to the Bahamas about the Nationality Act, right? Seeing that you are a former foreign affairs minister, right? Enlighten us or tell us what the FNM, how do the FNM feel about the Nationality Act in the manner it's being used to issue documents when documents should only be issued to the highest law of the country, which is the Constitution. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Firstly, I recall the Director of Immigration at the time some might refer to her as a whistleblower, who indicated that what happened at the Hilton Hotel was unceremoniously sent on leave. So, you know, I'm not going to comment as to who discovered it, who raised it. Secondly, the Nationality Act is a piece of legislation that has been in existence for quite a while in the Bahamas, followed independence, right, I believe, and it is good law. Then, if someone has a problem with a piece of legislation in the Bahamas, the Supreme Court is the arbiter of legislation, and it can be challenged. The Supreme Court, the Constitution. I believe you may be speaking to Article 6, but I won't guess. Article 6 provides that any child born in the Bahamas after 1973 to a Bahamian man or woman. Let me just see if I could pull the article up very quickly. Every person born in the Bahamas after 9th of July 1973 shall become a citizen of the Bahamas at the date of his birth, if at that date either of his parents is a citizen of the Bahamas. Now, we know that Bahamian women who sired children with foreign fathers, the child would take the nationality of the mother. Justice Winder recently had a ruling, I think, which addressed Article 6, which was approved. Our Chief Justice, a fine jurist, which was approved by the Privy Council, which says that even if a child is born to a foreign woman and a Bahamian man, based on paternity, obviously you're going to have to do some kind of testing. You know, we say in the Bahamas, your ma is your ma, and everybody knows that's your ma, but your father is your father, and your daddy might be your daddy, and your daddy don't know. So with proper testing, and that child can show that he is the child, or the father can show that this is my child, that child should be awarded citizenship. I hope that answered your question.
He hung up and listens. It cleared it up to me. Let's take our first break. I'm going to say minister, but maybe soon. Let's take our first break, Senator Henfield. This is Pearlie filling in for Shivago Lang on Z-Live on Guardian Ready with Senator the Honorable Darren Henfield, newly ratified candidate for South Beach. We'll be right back.
So Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Asheye Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
In these very difficult times when crime is on the increase, you don't need to waste money on imitation security. Get the best at Wemco Security, the company you keep. Don't delay. Call today or visit their office at 32 Collins Avenue across from Columbus Primary School.
Family life is full of joy and challenges. With a Fidelity personal loan, you can handle life's surprises while focusing on what matters most. From home renovations to unexpected expenses, our loans are fast, reliable solutions to any problem life throws your way. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a Canadian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Z Live here on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is Pearly filling in for Shivago today. My special guest is Senator the Honorable Darren Henfield. Let me read this text quick. Good afternoon, Pearly and Mr. Henfield. Did Brave Davis shuffle his cabinet? I thought Mr. Sayre should have given an immigration report. I'd like for Mr. Monroe to give us a crime report and let us know what's happening in New York with the police and the Defense Force officers. I see why Mr. Sayers is not seeking re-election. He's trying to save what's left of his name after costing us high power bills by not securing the fuel head situation.
Earl, all the Minister of National Security did, and the observation is spot on. Firstly, you would expect that the Minister of Immigration would respond to a press conference given by the leader of the opposition on immigration matters. The minister indicated that since we said that immigration was a national security issue, and it is, immigration, security of our borders, the people with whom we treat and dispense our citizenship to, should always be a national security concern for us. And that's why we should vet them properly before we just give them documents to be behemoths. But what I found most curious is that the Minister of National Security would come on and address immigration issues, but when you ask him about policing or national security issues, he says that you know, I allowed a police commissioner to run the police force, I allowed a commander of the defense force to run the defense force. So you can't pick what you want to answer as a minister, and then answer what you will. And quite frankly, as an executive, as a member of the cabinet, there is something the minister ought to be aware of, that there is political control in democratic countries. There's political oversight of security forces. And so when people ask him about national security, you know, it's curious. We had a national security issue somewhat outside of the country. We had a couple of murders. We don't hear from the minister. We don't hear what his data on how clear, hold, and build is working from the minister. But we have a minister who comes on and uses an argument that we call in law a ad hominem argument, where he does not attack the argument or the statements made by in any real sincerity, the statements made by the leader of the opposition, but he just makes fun and talks about some rhetorical or work that the leader of the opposition did back in the day as a writer. And so the observation is spot on. quite naturally, we expected that the Minister of Immigration would come and speak to immigration issues.
Carly, you're on the air. How you doing?
I'm okay. You doing, Philly?
I'm good, my brother. What's up?
And Senator Hornfield.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Cleaver down from here.
Hey, Cleaver.
Yeah. You know, my thing is, and before I do this, Philly, I just want to say this, you know, this nationality thing. I've spent many years researching this from 2015. Mm-hmm. What you see out there from the COI, they are plagiarists. They are plagiarizing my work to be relevant for political expedience. They're doing to me the same thing what they claim the Haitians are doing to the Bahamian people. But that's not a here nor there. The position I have, and I always maintain with the Nationality Act in its present state, has more power than after Prem Law, which is the Constitution of the Bahamas. And that is what we are not really engaging in to have this clear understanding on how do we grant citizenship. For example, the Constitution of the Bahamas have some guidelines that one must meet in order to become citizen of the Bahamas. One, they must apply between the ages of 18 and 19. Is that correct, Hanfield?
Yes, 1 year. After your 18th birthday is 1 year for you to make the application.
Right. You see, remember, we had the Jane Rooney case where Smith and Fred Smith and I had, we had many back and forth. Janet Boswick, Randall McCartney, many back and forth on this issue. You see, the problem we have is when Jane Rooney appealed this matter to the Privy Council, because Fred Smith was saying that the late Jane Rooney was a Bahamian. He born in the Bahamas, he's a Bahamian. Well, the Lords of London and our highest court, the Privy Council, mm-hmm. they stated that it was clear that the appellant, Jane Rooney, did not meet the criteria laid forth in our Supreme Law, the Constitution. He didn't apply between the ages of 18 and 19. But the Nationality Act, which is working in direct contravention of the Constitution, the minister, watch this, the minister has more power in his capacity than our Constitution. Because according to the Nationality Act, he can grant citizenship to anyone who is of full age. What does that mean? The Parliament of the Bahamas is using an inferior law which has more power than our Constitution. It cannot be right. There's no way possible for these. That's why you see a bunch of persons who are over 19, 35, 45, 55, 80, being granted citizenship. We need to have a clear, honest conversation on our affairs in regards to the Nationality Act. As a matter of fact, it should have been brought to a referendum where we decide whether we want to write a law that will give more power to the minister than our Constitution, King Ultravirus, and that is the problem that these lawyers are not talking about. We have to have an honest discussion because what we see here now is a national security risk. According to the United Nations, they state that any time you have another nationality exceeding 15% when you compare them to the local population, it poses a national security risk. Now, when are we going to stop? When will enough be enough? You see the same thing. See, this PLP government, for whatever reason, they take things to the extreme. You see how they behave with this rewarding of these, honoring these people. They give out 500. How many citizenship have they regularized over the last 4 years or 5 years? This is the question we need to ask. This is maybe, you know what? We need someone who can challenge the parliamentary registrar. As a matter of fact, all of those things that have been granted citizenship, they should be contested in the general election leading up to general. You can contest that and you will win it because they should not be doing what they are doing, giving out their citizenship, overcrowding our school system, putting a serious burden on our hospitals. I mean, this thing is out of control, and the lawyers are playing political nonsense by, you know, saying that they cannot understand the nationality. How can I can understand as a layman? And lawyers cannot understand it. The Chief Justice stated in the Jane Rooney case, the Chief Justice stated that there was a lacuna, meaning there's a void. He cannot accommodate. There's nothing in place to grant citizenship to persons who didn't meet the threshold in our Constitution. But the minister is just giving out like candy. The leader of the opposition isn't really paying much attention. I mean, he's not a lawyer, but he is surrounded by lawyers who should know better. But I listen to the senator and I hear what he has to say. But we need to challenge the affairs of the Nationality Act to put an end to this madness that we see going on here in the Bahamas. It's out of control.
Thank you, Cleaver. Thank you very much. Senator?
Cleaver, I appreciate your sentiments. I agree with your sentiments, which particularly the ones which says to us that no one with a document newly issued should be allowed to vote in the Bahamas, especially if you can't speak English. Or you know, some people are walking around with documents. I believe if you ask them what are the first lines in the national anthem, they could not answer you. But we wanted to be clear yesterday, and we wanted to be very specific that we did not intend to go after any one particular group. We wanted to deal with the irregularities that we see and want a system that can stand the test of daylight. We want a system that Bahamians can once again repose their trust in. And we want a system that is fair and without political interference. The Nationality Act provides, I believe, for those areas of the law that are gray, or as Cleaver described it, lacunas in the law, where a right acting minister in the interest of the country and the interest of the individuals that they're dealing with make decisions. And that is what happens under the law.
Okay, I got a couple of texts here. Text says, it wasn't the COI that brought the information about the British Colonial Hilton. It was the whistleblower to the FNM and others. I know the Church of Imbimbeciles believe that the Chief of Ignorance, when he tells them nothing happens in the Bahamas and the world without him. But this one isn't his. Lincoln Bean, a week later, claimed that he copies of a report on their work permits being for someplace else. Interesting. Hi, why are they making it so easy to get Bahamian citizenship? If your parents came to the Bahamas illegally, Haiti law is different. And sounds like Pintad mentioned the citizenship issue, but having an investigative political abuse shield. Yeah. Interesting. Callie on
the
air.
I believe with the...
Go ahead, Senator. Sorry. Go ahead, Senator.
No, I believe what the leader said was that we are going to look into all of these documents that have been issued in the last 4 years, because, you know, we are skeptical. There are too many allegations. Bahamians are, I mean, Earl, everywhere you go, Bahamians stop you and ask you, why are you not speaking more deliberately to these immigration issues that we face?
Okay.
That we face.
Okay.
I find people in the food store line, they say, that can't speak a lick of English, but is holding a Bahamian passport.
Yeah.
But we saw issues at the passport office where people are before the courts now for giving out passports based on fraudulent documents. And so there's a concern for us.
It's a very big concern. Callie, you on the air. How are you?
Good afternoon, Pearly, and good afternoon, Senator.
Hey, this is Mr. Yankee. How you doing, brother?
Good afternoon, sir.
Did that already?
Oh, okay.
Talk to me. Not the lady. Talk to me.
Yeah, I'm talking to you now.
All right.
And also to the Senator. I agree with everything what Cleaver Duncan said just now.
Uh-huh.
Because anything in violation of the Constitution should be null and void. And if the mere fact that we had such a matter before the highest court in the land and it was null and void tells us that we need to deal with this matter as a matter of urgency.
Uh-huh.
This country has gone... I don't know where. The last time we had a minister that was really doing something about immigration was the deceased who I was privileged to talk to, the Loftus Roker, some last year sometime.
Okay.
But nobody has done anything substantive for immigration in this country, and it's a matter of real crisis and need to be addressed. We are more than upset. As a citizen, I'm angry. This is crazy. There's no way that the Nationality Act can supersede the Constitution. The Constitution remains supreme. And that's why I say the Constitution is always supreme. my brother. So yes, Senator, we have to deal with that ASAP, provided that elected, if we are not elected, we have to ensure that government, that this government follow the law. There's no other way. And I am calling, making an appeal now for the Bahamian people to demand a constitutional change as a part of this election referendum. It must happen. That's the only way we're going to get a grip to this of the situation.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my brother.
Any comment on that, Senator?
No, I mean, the Bahamians are very passionate about this. It is me that a government that has been in office for 4 years does not decide to respond to this issue in the public way, in a public way, other than what we saw last night, until after the opposition presents a platform on immigration. So that tells you that you have a reactive government, not one that is preparing to do what is necessary, or is prepared to do what is necessary to govern this country in a proper way. Well, but let me just say this. You know, some 4 years ago, whilst in office, we after a fire in the mud in Abaco, I don't know if you remember this, Pearlie, we moved, and I delivered a communication in Parliament as a member of Parliament from Abaco to eradicate irregular communities. One of the reasons being was that we could not even get firefighters in there in trucks to go through the community and distinguish the fire. Mashaba is the economic center for Abaco. And could you imagine if that fire had gotten out and spread through the community? Apart from that, we appreciate that the health issues associated with these irregular communities where you don't have consistent running water and toilet facilities and all of the rest of things that we believe goes on in these communities that are communities that exist unto themselves in the Bahamas.
Okay.
Well, no less a person than the leader of the opposition at the time, who is now the prime minister, you know, he opposed what we were doing in Abaco. I believe if you go back to our news, you can find a clip on the prime minister indicating his opposition to what we were doing. After that, we were stopped, or the court put a stop to our demolition exercises in irregular communities in Abaco and, in fact, all across the country. Well, in 2019 came Hurricane Dorian, which, you know, unfortunately took a lot of lives. We don't know how many lives Dorian took from those communities, because migrants don't come to you if they're illegal and say, I'm in the Bahamas. We don't know. But, you know, it goes to show what happens when we don't do what we ought to do, then we should do it. And I believe we tried, and we saw an instance where this government came and said that they were eradicating irregular communities. I don't know how far they are with that. I haven't heard anything much from that. We've done quite a number of things since being in opposition. We marched on Hawkins Hill, where we protested against the minister and others who were involved in giving out citizenship papers at a funeral service.
In church,
We marched downtown to East Street, to East Bay Street, to the minister's office, where we also reiterated our concerns of the irregularities and things that the allegations that we heard coming out of immigration. Our pressure, we believe, forced the prime minister to move the minister and replaced him with another minister. And so Pintard has always been, I know as a colleague, minister of the cabinet, has always been in the fight for Bahamian sovereignty. I remember the pushback that he got when he moved, he seeked to move through legislation which prohibited foreign fishers from fishing in Bahamian boats. No later than last weekend, I had a conversation with one of those fishermen who applauded that effort and said to me that they had the best season for one of the Carroll brothers out of Long Island.
Uh-huh.
He lives in South Beach. Said to me that they had the best season that they had in years after that law was put in place. We don't know what's happening with it now. We don't know whether or not foreigners are fishing in Bahamian vessels now. But that's something else we're going to have to look into.
Yes, we do. We have to take another break. We'll be right back. This is Pearlie filling in for Shivago Lang on Z Live on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM with my special guest, Senator Darren Henfield. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Shell, you home? My gas barbecue tank you have. I tell you, long time. Go get a barbecue tank from Caribbean Gas. They just got a new shipment of tanks of all sizes. Now you know they always just have the best prices. Tell them you heard it on 106.5 FM and they will give you $5 off. Caribbean Gas, 361-6007 or 552-9597. You want to use my phone? Here, call them now.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand,
And welcome back to Z Live on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Yeah, this is your boy Pearly in the house with my special guest, Darren Henfield. Let me read this quick text. Good afternoon, Pearly. Something for your consideration, both our present government and opposition are stocked with attorneys. Does our constitution allow for an attorney from the opposition, or any attorney for that matter, to sue the government or legally challenge the Nationality Act in a court of law, as it appears that it's tenant or indirect conflict with the Supreme Bahamian Constitution? It would certainly be more impactful for me as a voter to see a political party buying for the government doing something other than asking me for my vote, rather than get reelected and talk some more. That makes sense to you, Senator?
Well, you know, anyone who feel they are aggrieved by any piece of legislation in the Bahamas can go before the Supreme Court and challenge that legislation. Anyone who has a grievance, who feel that they're being damaged by a law in the Bahamas can do so.
Okay. Callie, you're on the air. Welcome to Z Live.
Good day, Pearly.
Hey, what's up, my brother?
How you do to your guest, Darren? What's his name?
Senator Darren Henfield.
That's the one who's running in South Beach, eh?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My best wishes to you. Best wishes to you, Senator, to be.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Correct. In reference to the Nationality Act, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they said, we never went to a referendum according to the Constitution. And someone mentioned about where Cleaver Duncombe said that it's a lacuna.
Some word like that he used, yeah.
Pardon me?
Yes, yeah.
Cleaver suggested that the court indicated that there was a gap in the law that was not being addressed by the Nationality Act.
Correct.
Okay, right. Now, what happened here? Law, there's a term called void ab initio.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means?
It is a no-go. Never started. It's right. Void ab initio.
If you even sign a contract, it's standard with me poorly down at with us owners down in Crooked Island, it was never legally binding. It's not an indenture. The document at the Nationality Act is not a legal binding document. Like a contract or an agreement, it's not legally binding. So it's even though they have signatures, it's basically specious, otiose, and superfluous. That means it's superficially plausible, but actually wrong. It serves no practical purpose or result, and it's unnecessary and being more than enough. That's what those three words mean.
Okay,
you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So void ab initio is Latin in law for. And people, and the common man who don't know, it's void. ABINITIO, and that means from the beginning. So when they present something falsely on the false pretense and try to move that through and try to say that's legally binding, and that's what the issue with the nationality act is, because we, according to the Constitution, the earlier caller was saying, ain't more power than the Constitution. You can't put it through, because if we never meant a referendum and the people decided on what where we wanted to go on that, how are they still enacting the law? Someone said earlier, but I think it was on the CA Newry show, all of these people, every one of them should be judged. Now, that ain't our problem. Breaking the law is breaking the law. Burley, you know what's happening in Spain now?
Say it again?
You know what's happening in Spain right now?
Tell me.
A friend of mine just told me that they sent me one video where the Africans beating up the people in Spain, the locals.
Oh, boy.
Beating them, fighting them, and beating them in a certain area. These are the kind of things. That I guess they wait for this to come around here.
Oh, no. The devil is a liar.
Well, you know, things happen in different demographics or different society or whatever. If I had a number for you, once I check with the video, I'll send it to you.
Leave your number with the producer. Mr. Producer, get his number, and then I'll WhatsApp you, okay?
Producer, come. My number, well, he no way.
Give it to him. He can put it on a piece of paper and give it to me. Okay.
Yeah, but we have to understand challenging the Constitution. On that ground, Mr. Senator, and yes, this government, but successive governments, it's been going on from 1973, and we know people do this politically, but we as behemoths have to abide by the law, because when the law agrees you, agrees me, agrees your child, my child, or our parents, our cousins, whoever, what it is, it is breaking the law. You see?
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Let's stay on hold. Okay. Callie on there. How you doing?
Hey, Pearlie. How's it going, man?
I'm good, my brother. What's up?
Everything's good, man. To the Senator, very pleasant. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
A texter and the previous caller made some very revealing remarks. Is the senator in agreement? Is what he said accurate? Is he an attorney, by the way?
The senator? Yes.
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 You're an attorney. The offering to that previous caller, was he accurate? Or is that something that could be subject to
question? Would you be more specific? What offerings were
legally? Recording he said just now about the Nationality Act
being unlawful,
basically being in contravention to the Constitution. Yes.
Yeah.
But if you listen very carefully, I said, and I continue to say that the act is a legislation of the Bahamas government, is a legislation for Bahamians, and if you are aggrieved by that, you can challenge it in the Supreme Court. You know, I'm not going to go down into the rabbit hole of arguing about, you know, the content or the context or the existence of the Nationality Act in that regard. Okay. I hear what they say, but I've also been involved practically in this. I have been a Defense Force officer for the greater part of my life, and I have boarded boats coming from Haiti with people on them who said to me, I was born in Abaco, where I was born, but they're 25, and they didn't have an opportunity then, because they were probably deported with their parents, to apply for citizenship at the age of 18. They missed the year period, right? So what should happen with a person like that?
I don't think that's really the revelations. And just my personal view, and listening to the press conference by the leader of the opposition, also in the retort or reply from the Minister of National Security, I think that's a rabbit hole, and it doesn't really address what we're discussing, in my personal view. Here's what I'm asking you basically then. You gave a specific instance. My question to you is this. If the Nationality Act is in contravention of the Bahamian Constitution, the President of the United States, for example, issues an executive order, people go crazy and go nuts with legal challenges, so on and so forth. It happens everywhere. As opposed to the talk show circuits, the press releases, how much of an impact do you think the FNM would make as a political organization that was truly interested in change? Talking or challenging the laws based on legal principle, if it is in contravention, or if it's even open to any... Let me finish. May I finish my statement, sir?
Yes.
If
yes,
there
yes,
is any ambiguity, how much more impactful do you think it would be for people considering making a change, not only in government, but in our system? where we truly have a voice or a seat at the table. Do you think it would be more impactful in these rounds or actually challenging what is wrong?
It is always more impactful, and that's what I said at the outset of my conversation here with Earl today, that we need to listen more deliberately to behemoths. We work for them. But I wanted to say this to you, sir. The Nationality Act has been followed by successive administrations in this country. I don't know a successful challenge against it in the Supreme Court. I don't know of one. If you do, you can remind me.
On that note, we're out of time for this first hour. Thank you so much for the calls. Thank you to take a break, get the news. When we come back, Senator Henfield and I will chop it up a little bit more on immigration, take your calls, and answer some of the texts. This is Pearlie filling in for Zhivago Lange on Z Live here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We'll be right back after the news.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
And welcome back to Z Live here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is Pearlie filling in for Zhivago and my special guest today, Senator, the Honorable Darren Henfield. Senator, you still with me?
Still with you, brother. Still with you.
Let's read a text. If anyone has proof that any nationality is holder of any passport, work permit, or NIB card who can't provide proof, why throw stone and hide your hand? I don't know what that quite means.
Me either, you know, Earl, but we know that the whistleblower who blew the whistle down in the Hilton was sent home.
Exactly. Good afternoon. I know that. Yes. Good afternoon, yes. Earl. Please tell the Senator that there are laws that govern the construction and development of housing projects in communities in the Bahamas. To continually refer to shantytown as irregular developments is disingenuous and seeks to cognitively discount the seriousness of the offense being committed. Irregular refers to actions outside the norm or set of processes, whereas illegal refers to a violation of the law. Let's stop trying to plant seeds in the public mind. I quite don't understand this text because irregular.
Yeah, what I'd like to say to that is, you know, whilst we're in office, we conducted a study all across the country of these communities. And most Bahamians would be shocked to know that not only illegal migrants or people of other origins live in those communities. Bahamians also live in those communities, okay? And so it is not just an issue with illegal migrants or those who come, but he's correct or she is correct. Most of us, all governments in the past, successive governments, have ignored this problem, not to ignore it anymore. Our leader used an example of what happened in Andros. I think it was North Andros. While she was Minister of Agriculture, you had such a community set up on arable land, good land that people couldn't have access to farm.
Yeah.
And through posting the correct notices, through proper notification and consultation in the communities, he was able to, as Minister of Agriculture on BIC land, resolve the issue. Sometimes we get into trouble with these issues because we speak publicly what we're going to do, and then we the caller said, or the texter said, throw a rock and hide your hand. You show your hand, and then you can't go before the court as a good, faithful actor if you already come with the intention of doing certain things.
Understand.
And so the caller makes a point. These things have happened in open on many islands in the Bahamas. I know for certain in Albaco, where they should have been stopped. The Ministry of Works has a department which controls how buildings ought to be permitted to be built in the Bahamas. And we need to look into why that is happening in the way that it is. We don't want Bahamians to take the law. We had a fella in Albaco who just moved around with a sledgehammer, and break down when he saw buildings being built. We don't want that. We want a proper regulated community. We want to grow one Bahamas. where everybody in the Bahamas lives in the same type of community and the same type of decent environment and free and fair under the protection of the law.
Okay. Should a minister seeking to bypass the Constitution be required to present the case to Parliament? Specifically, in the case of immigration, should additional criteria be implemented to ensure that a single person in power is not approving thousands of extraordinary applications with zero oversight? For example, a person seeking the right to register would be subject to strict guidelines, having to prove adherence to the laws over the time they've been in the country. Strict limitations on approvals within 2 years before or after an election. A person entering the country illegally is not eligible ever. Eligible to vote.
Yesterday, leader indicated yesterday that our policy is that, and it ought to be the policy of every government, that any person who enters the Bahamas the wrong way, illegally, will never benefit from a permanent residency, a citizenship, or a work permit in the Bahamas. There has to be zero tolerance for that. There can be no more of that. You can't enter a country illegally and then benefit from all it has to offer. We all know the issue of illegal migration, and we're not of the type that would blame illegal migration on all of the ills that we face in the country, but we cannot deny the burdens placed on social services, the burdens placed on our educational system. We cannot deny the burdens placed on our security forces and systems. Taxpayers foot these burdens if people don't enter the country the right way and pay their fair share of taxes.
Texter says, Monroe moves faster than the money hitting the bank from the Lucaya sale. Wayne Monroe must have set a new Bahamian speed record when he called a snap press conference responding to Michael Pindot's immigration plan. Honestly, we've never seen the PLP government move so quickly, unless, of course, you count their haste in booking flight deals that mysteriously vanish into thin air. The PLP administration rejects being held accountable. They see everything as an attack on the party. Government and technocrats in the government have less to say about issues than PLP party trolls. Fred acts like the chief troll instead of a gatekeeper and government member.
One thing jumped out from the minister's discussion last night, I'll call it. He indicated that they repatriated some 13,000.
I was going to ask you about that. That's over 110 flights in the last 4 years. That's a lot of flights. And they don't see.
So the Bahamian public, we would like, at least in the opposition, for the minister to provide the empirical information to support that. Unless, of course, all of those repatriations were not done by Bahamas Air Flights, which would require, from the numbers that we've looked at least 110 or so.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he did some by boat. I don't know. But we could use some more information to support that information that he gave.
I would like to know that too, because that's a lot of money spent. That's a tremendous amount of money spent, and they should at least tell us how you did it, right?
Yeah, let us know empirically how you did that. Well, how were you able to rip the 4 years?
Okay, phones are lighting up. Callie on the air. How you doing?
Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Hi, Pearlie L. How you doing?
Oh, you all right? I wanted to ask, I think the senator had answered his own question, but he had asked a question earlier, and I was holding so long I couldn't hear the answer if anybody did.
Uh-huh.
But he had asked the question, you know, there are persons who have probably been deported and weren't able to meet the deadline of when they should apply for citizenship.
Uh-huh.
Right? And what should be done in those instances? Let me tell you. What should be done is we should follow our laws. You know why? Because we have to acknowledge first that there is an issue with this problem. It's not about being mean to any particular person or anything like that, but we have to acknowledge as a people that we have had a problem, still have a problem with persons breaching our borders, right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. We have a national debt, right? We are trying to sort this country out for Bahamians so that, you know, our children and grandchildren can have a piece of this pie, right? So what I say to the senator is follow the law. If you missed the deadline, that is on you. Because, I mean, there are exceptions, right? But if we didn't have such an issue, right? I mean, let me ask him, do you think we have an issue?
Obviously we have an issue.
Illegal migration and people from the South that have breached our borders for years and years. Do you think we have a problem?
Absolutely, we have an issue. Not only people from the South, but people from all over the place come in the Bahamas and overstay and don't return.
Okay, so Bahamas is better in the Bahamas. The numbers that from the South, right? We have an issue with them, and we empathize with their plight, right? But we also have Bahamians in this country that are suffering. The elderly, for example, we need more upgraded facilities. My mom had the, I had to use the government facilities to put my mom in. And it's we do the best we can, but it needs a lot more work, right? So we have to address issues and acknowledge problems and not feel like, it doesn't exist. It does exist, right? And it's best just to address it head on once and for all. Now, I don't want to compare us to the United States of America because we're nowhere near their population. But if the president of the United States of America, with 300 million people, feels that he has to give a deadline to take people from the South, 400,000 to leave at a particular time, obviously they must be making some kind of impact in the United States of America that he's had to do that. So us, this small country, we have to stick to our rules and enforce it when you have issues such as borders being breached and such as squatting and these kind of things. If there wasn't a problem there, you can make exceptions, right? But if you miss the deadline, whether you're 25, 30, whatever, or change them, right?
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate that call. Call you on the air. How you doing? Missed that one. Call you on the air. How you doing? Hello? You know, I got to be a little more patient, man. I know I talk plenty, so be a little patient, okay? Call you on the air.
Yes, how you doing? It's Alan Johnson, yeah?
It's Alan Johnson. How are you?
Both of you. Just allow me to address, like, 3 points, okay? First, on the definition of irregular, illegal, or informal. And when it comes to housing, the word irregular is preferred over illegal because it avoids the negative connotation and criminalization associated with the word illegal. So it provides a passive means of just addressing the issues without necessarily charging individuals for whatever reason. Now, there's a very important context in those three words because irregular housing is basically something that deviates from the established norms, to occupancy, whereas illegal housing is built in occupied in violation of the rules and law. And informal housing is, say, you take over the Super Value or the shopping center and create it into housing. And I think it's important for us to deal with this. But the most important aspect of this is I've taken opportunity to listen to in his position concerning the housing revolution. And I think the media has overlooked an opportunity for us to have a conversation and even influence the government to take his advice. Because when he speaks about land banking and when he speaks about social housing and the fact that he will look at urban renewal in a different perspective, it can actually create and bring the cost of housing down. Now, it's a significant difference between the word of housing and home ownership. They're both interchangeable, but in this, when you talk about housing, it covers both. And I think when you understand what he's been saying, I think Bahamians will be happy to know, because even for the 12,000 homes that we use, that's from 1984. We talk about 15,000 legal immigrants in the country who should each have their own apartment and the deficiencies. And so I think the solution proffered by Mr. Michael Pintard is something that this nation has been in want and need. Yes. Now, the other point concerning that the Minister of National Security, he's screaming, bring the evidence, right? But in his speech, he admitted to crimes being committed, and they sought to regularize these individuals as opposed to prosecuting them. The former minister in the studio there online with you said that he lent national insurance issued to individuals at birth and to individuals when they come in. So these thousands of individuals who are now being fixed for national security or whatever reason, so they're in violation of the law. How do they have a work permit with an improper national insurance and all of these different things? They're in violation of the law, and violation of the law, for me, should make you ineligible to continue hold the work permit. But I'm just simply saying is that I'm always concerned when they bring out the players, I call them gaslighters. Right? For me, they should stay close away from flammable things because they're really gaslighters to try us to intellectualize an argument while they deflect, duck, dive, whatever, than answering the question. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of questions that was asked by the leader of opposition, and none of them was addressed. But if you listen very carefully to the answers he gives, it was actually a confession to all of the questions asked that these deficiencies that Mr. Pindad highlight actually exist. But by intellectualizing the conversation, you kind of miss that fact. And just let me end in this third point. Another promise, and I look forward to these being for the incoming prime minister, is where he calls for this committee on immigration, which covers migration, citizenships, and everything else. And I think when this committee comes together, which comprises of the parliamentarians, I would assume the legal fraternity, civil society, and everything else, is that nothing has to be off the table. Because I understand the argument that Cleaver Duncombe has been making, and I've been standing with him for almost 15, 20 years in respect to that. And there's just a lot of Johnny come lately that have drowned out the message that's been trying to achieve in their misunderstanding and the use of it for political gain. And here it is. If the argument is made by not just by Mr. Cleaver Duncombe, by many people across the country concerning questioning this, there's nothing wrong with us taking a look at it from within this committee to examine the possibility that we may have been doing things wrong. You know what they say, right? Practice makes perfect. But let me correct you. Practice does not make perfect. It makes you perfect at being wrong or right. So you could be perfectly wrong. In the same way we have interpreted the Constitution concerning number 6, since 2000, I've not had lawyers or anything want to take it up, because one of the arguments they made with me is the child mother is a behemoth, so just use her. And I said, no, I wanted to fight for a right that I think I should have had. And nobody did. Eventually, the same national security minister took it up, and the court proved it. Well, guess what? We assumed that was right from 1973, and it was wrong in the same way the citizens could be wrong. But the bigger problem with that citizen argument is I'm very concerned, and this is why I think it's very important that we have a succinct conversation rather than a thing. This is a concept called derivative citizenship. And so if we have been given citizenship to individuals going uh-huh. back to 1973, and they have been passing on citizenship, when you retroactively look at that, you may retroactively, because they had no right to pan off, to be handing off that citizenship. Now, I Minister, you can tell me this.
I can rush you a little bit, Alan, because my phone light up.
No, I don't. I'm going to be short on this. You can answer this now or even later. Just for thought. Just food for thought. The only difference between a citizen and a residency is from being a citizen. So there's no fear that we can have a pathway for citizenship that deals not with giving the minister the authority, but setting in law the steps and process and whatever it is to achieve this title. And technology allows us to track every single person and have them have justice, not to disrupt our country, but basically if we are going to exist for the next 100, 200, 300 years to get it right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, my brother. He always comes to some complex questions, but they're really good ones. Senator,
we always appreciate C. Allen's interventions.
Yes,
and he is correct. A permanent resident has every ability to act in the Bahamas as a citizen does, with the exception of voting.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put this in the right way now. Is the government prepared to address Article 7 in the Constitution? That is to make it so that nobody who comes into the Bahamas illegally or born here to parents who came here illegally would have a pathway to citizenship. In other words, I guess if you come here illegal, how will we deal with that, not making it possible for you to get citizenship if you come here illegally?
It is possible, and I hope I'm not speaking out of school. We might have to go to a referendum in order to treat with it properly and legally. But as it stands now, any person born to foreigners in the Bahamas are entitled to apply for citizenship at the age of 18. And that's where I believe the Nationality Act comes into play, when someone is claiming citizenship to the Bahamas, entitlement to citizenship to the Bahamas, and there is an issue of fact or law relative to that person, that individual's claim, the Nationality Act gives the minister a responsible, a discretion to determine whether or not that person should be made a citizen of the Bahamas. So we might have to introduce a referendum. I'll have to go to my constitutional scholars and have a further discussion on
because
it.
Because this kind of goes back to a little what C. Allen said earlier about setting clear guidelines on how the path to citizenship.
Yeah, but our policy is, as pronounced, our policy will be, God allows us to govern,
uh-huh.
that no person who enters the Bahamas will have a direct path to citizenship or permanent residency or work permit if you are here illegally, if you come here illegally.
Fair enough.
We've seen other countries that have taken more drastic steps,
mm-hmm.
and removing that particular provision from their constitutions. The Dominican Republic did it a number of years ago, as it relates specifically to their population,
uh-huh.
that was there, and they literally took back citizenships and deported them.
Interesting.
We don't see that happening in the Bahamas, but you know, these are some of the issues that we contend with.
Okay, Carly on there, how you doing?
Hey, Pearly.
Hi, darling. How are you?
I'm fabulously fabulous.
Senator, this is one of my favorite callers. She always makes my day when she calls in.
She sounds
Who's
happy.
Who's again?
This is Senator Darren Henfield.
Oh, Mr. Henfield. Okay, like he was talking about the citizenship thing, something came to mind.
Yes,
you're talking about persons not having a pathway just because they're born here, even though they're born to illegal parents.
Yes.
When we become the government again,
mm-hmm.
is there anything in place as to revoking some of these citizenship for these illegal persons come here and deporting them? I don't want us to get to the extreme that the U.S. is at. That's a bunch of foolishness going on there. But what mm-hmm. I would like to know, and if these persons are eligible to vote in our elections.
No, if you're not a Bahamian citizen, you are not eligible to vote in our
election. But if
election.
You're born by illegal parents, and you eventually obtain,
well, if you were born, the law as it stands now, right? The Constitution provides that if you're born in the Bahamas to foreign parents, mm-hmm. you have an entitlement in law by the Constitution to apply at your 18th birthday to become a mm-hmm. citizen of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
If you are given Bahamas, you are a Bahamian citizen with all of and privileges that appertains to being a Bahamian, right? But mm-hmm. what we are concerned about, like you are concerned about, I can hear it in your line of questioning, that there may be people with Bahamian passports and other Bahamian documents that are not entitled to have them. And what the leader of the opposition said yesterday, and this is what we determined in our caucus, will be our stance. We will review all of those given in the last few years, right, the last 4 years in particular, to determine the veracity under which the laws that they were given under, and we will have a close look at them, not us as politicians,
but a group of
Bahamians who are concerned like you, that some people may have slipped through the cracks.
So once found, will that or those persons be deported?
Absolutely.
Or will you just find it out and say, okay, yes, we found it, and then just let it lie? Because I'm trying to figure when are we going to take action on some stuff. That's my question.
No.
Will we take action?
Once we have gained Bahamian documents through illegal means, you ought to go back to your country of origin. You will go back.
So what about going after those who give those documents? So will we be doing that too? Because I tend to see a lot of things start because it's getting a bit frustrated to see a lot of things start and then just halt it. I mean, within the same government, not when governments change. I expect some stuff to change when government change. But, you know, if you start something, please finish it. That's what I would like to see some stuff actually be completed. If you found it out, then get them before the courts and get them put out, or send them back to where they come from. Yes, we understand there's a problem going on there, but like they say, they don't want nobody help. They want to fix it themselves. allow them to fix it themselves.
If you listen to the leader yesterday, you would hear coming from his tone and tenor concerning this point that we believe it is absolutely treasonous for a Bahamian to be involved in perpetuating or giving citizenships to people who are not entitled to them. And so those in the out, when we come to office, will face the full extent and brunt of the law. That is what the leader said yesterday.
Okay, one more thing.
So we're not only looking at the person who has the citizenship, but the person who facilitated this practice if it was not done through the proper process and legal means.
Thank you. And let me say one more thing. When found out, and it's a public person, a public figure, will those names be published, or will you guys also take on that secretive? I hate that secrecy. I hate that. If you're doing something, you find out something, what's the problem? If it's a public person, then what's the harm in calling the name?
No, we intend to have a commission who will operate openly and view the public. We believe in a democracy that things should be done in transparency and openly. So you can see what happened, what went on, and you can see why someone is being punished, or you can see why someone is being rewarded. Nothing
so
will be
we
hidden.
So we feel like there's too much that went on under this government here and now. Will you guys be looking into a possible commission of inquiry against this government?
We intend to establish an immigration commission that will look into all irregularities or alleged irregularities.
And money-spending one, too. Get a money-spending commission, too. One with all the money spent. That, too.
Yes,
ma'am.
We can take... Thank you for the call. We can take our break. We'll be back in a minute. This is Pearlie filling in for Shivago Lang on Z-Live. This is interesting. This is some good stuff. My special guest, Senator Darren Hanfield. Senator, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Are you looking to save for a big purchase or occasion? Do you want your money to start making money for you? Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Bond, the Bahamas Government Savings Bond. I am guaranteed to earn interest on your money with terms ranging from 1 to 6 years. Government Savings Bonds are available to all Bahamians, and for as little as $100, you can start to save for your future. The Bahamas Government Saving Bond, a safe investment guaranteed. Check out the Central Bank of the Bahamas website for details.
Looking for insurance that fits your lifestyle and your budget? At Star General Insurance, we've got you covered. Whether it's motor insurance with flexible options for third-party liability and comprehensive coverage, or commercial insurance products that protect your business, we have choices you can afford. Own a home or renting? Our home for the adventurers out there, we offer marine insurance too. Visit our website or social media pages for contact information and quotes. Star General. Insurance made simple.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Z Live here with Pearlie in the house. My special guest, the Honorable Senator, the Honorable Darren Hanfield. Let me read a couple of quick texts. Hello, Pearlie. There's no excuse for people There's no excuse for people of a other nationality who have been deported from the Bahamas and claiming they missed the opportunity to apply for citizenship. When they would have reached 18 years old, they could have applied it if they wanted to from their home country through the embassy or through some sort of other means. Point. Maybe a couple more quickly. Pearly, the senator said that now is the time to stop ignoring our immigration crisis. Why wasn't the case under the last FNM administration? What about this new domestic industry where Filipinos are being granted work permits for domestic work and cashiers in Chinese restaurants and bars? What about the high salary positions in our hotels, restaurants, and financial services where behemoths are doing the work? Any former minister or senator that did not speak up during their tenure at the helm, go sit down. You have failed us. Would you say you, Senator?
Yeah, I say we have new leadership now, and no charge can be made of any government in the past where they didn't do certain things the Bahamian people thought expedient to be done at the time. But I will defend that position and say that we did some things. We moved on shanty or irregular communities. We moved foreign fishers from Bahamian vessels. Me, as the Minister of Foreign Affairs, extended the reach of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force by starting negotiations with the Turks and Caicos Islands government, the British government, through the Turks and Caicos to put in place a ship riders agreement in Turks and Caicos, which allows Bahamian patrol vessels, the Defense Force vessels, to patrol within the internal waters of the Turks and Caicos and effect arrest in that area with a Turks and Caicos police officer on board, the same as we have with the Americans through their ship riders agreement. We mimicked that and thought it would be of good use to us to extend our reach for security purposes into the southern quadrants of the Bahamas and beyond. And so we did some things that we thought were good in the interest of the Bahamian people and in the interest of mitigating Bahamas. But obviously we have much more work to do.
May I humbly suggest limiting work permits to 5 to 10 years with immediate revocation if the permit holder violates Bahamian laws. Exception to the time limit may be considered for specialized roles and extraordinary contributions to national development. This reform aims to strengthen workforce planning, uphold legal standards, and streamlining permit administration. It says, you all have immigration officers whose parents ain't Bahamian and speak no English, meaning the parents on the force. I have seen multiple cases, multiple. So, there we go. So, will the FNM give a referendum to remove the right for a child born of illegal immigrants to register and further to put a moratorium on right to register as Bahamian based on birth? Sea Island Point was once you issue citizenship, I will say, specifically to a Haitian national because that is the current threat that have derivative consequences. That person will have children and they will have children. If the vetting process is willy-nilly, just pushing thousands through in weeks, 20 or 20 years down the road, you've altered the security of the country and pro-Haitian and anti-Bahamian.
Surely, that text is a point that we made yesterday as well, that the leader made. He asked people, many of this today's generation won't know this if they don't know the history of it, about the contract days in the United States of America. I think during the Second World War,
mm-hmm.
when Americans had to go off to fight, people from the colonies were asked to come and do jobs in the United States of America. My father actually went. He's 90 years old, right?
Okay.
He actually went and he picked citrus in Florida and he picked apples in Minnesota. We would like to Bahamas where there's an opportunity for people, if we need workers, laborers to come to the Bahamas, that they would come for a prescribed period, be it a year, be it 6 months, be it 18 months, and they're regulated properly, right? Through our embassy and an employment office, and they come to the Bahamas, the employer has somewhere for them to stay. They can tell us how they're going to be treated if they have medical issues. They can tell us if they bring children. Normally, that's not the case. How they're going to support their children's schooling. And other social issues that may accompany them, right? So we were looking at a program where you can have people come over for a period on a basis and give everybody an opportunity to make some good money and send home or take home with them when they go, as my father and those who served on the contract with him, they call it the contract
in the
United States, as they did back then.
Yeah. Neither the illegal children should have any benefit from their parent. How can a child from an illegal parent have the right to apply for legal papers? If the government do not take charge of this illegal building, the people will soon do so and break them down. Like Mr. Henfield said, I approve the actions of that man.
All other islands should be doing the same to protect the islands from this illegal building. Yeah, but it gets the violence. So I understand your point, Texter, but I don't understand.
I'm not promoting in any way violence. No. Well, I'm not doing that at
not
all.
Not at all. Not at
I'm
all.
I'm an officer of the court.
Caller, you're on there. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening, Charlie?
How you doing, brother? Sorry to keep you all waiting so long, but getting 100 texts and 100 calls. What's up?
Daniel Paul, am I enjoying the conversation? Senator?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations on your ratification, man. Just want you to be encouraged. Keep doing what y'all doing. And, you know, we listen and we see y'all.
Thank you.
Pray for us.
Pray for us.
You know, maybe if the leader was to hold a press conference on the Alokaya deal, maybe we get some answers, eh? Because they responded real quick after the press conference yesterday.
That's interesting.
take note, Senator. Take note.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
All right, man. Be encouraged.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Callie on the air. How you doing? We lost that one, Mr. Producer. Callie on there, how you doing?
Hey, Pearly, how you doing, man?
Hey, my brother, how you doing?
Everything's good. Senator Hanfield, good afternoon to you.
How you doing, sir? Always appreciate hearing you on the radio.
Doing quite well, and I must say that I too am enjoying this conversation. It is one of many that would have been had for quite some time.
Yes.
And I think, primarily personally, and excuse if you hear my voice go every now and again, but I'm going to try and get this out as quickly as possible. I think it's about time that we can get into action. As you can hear the commentary of a lot of the persons who are calling into the show, you can hear about their concerns of our country. Mm-hmm. And even some people would say about sovereignty. Mm-hmm. I think it's more about the sanctity of our country and our way of life. The sad part about this whole thing is, you know, if we were to document every concern that the Bahamians have been asking our successive governments to mm-hmm. deal with, perhaps we would not be at this point where we are today. Mm-hmm. And we want a serious government that is going to really take the Bahamian people seriously and actually begin to implement these things. Yes, we know about the international laws, and yes, we know about all of the national laws and stuff, but we have to find a way to fix this problem for we as Bahamians. The country's image right now and for who we are known for to be is actually put in the blender and it's being all mixed up. We are a unique people. And until we begin why we are unique and why is it that we fight for our country, then perhaps we will begin to move in the proper direction where we begin to restore ourselves as a people who is unique. We need to fix this problem. But thanks for taking my call.
Thank you so much. Get well soon.
I want to, if I can, Earl.
Yes,
I want to thank the caller. I listen to him often when he calls these talk shows and I find him to be a genuine voice of Bahamians who speak truth to power.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter who you are or where you sit in office. If you listen very carefully to Bahamians, you will appreciate why there's so much voter apathy in the Bahamas. People are not interested in hearing from politicians. Many of us don't consider ourselves politicians, but we find ourselves in this role, right? Bahamians want a government that will listen, a government that would respond, and a government that would be attentive to their concerns, their desires, and the things it is that they want to achieve, not only for them, but for their children. I have two granddaughters. My eldest is Dahlia. Dahlia's 11. Dariel is one year and some months. I fight for them, Earl. I don't fight for me. My boys are old enough. They're men now. They can fight for themselves. But I fight for my children yet unborn. I fight for a country that I believe be better. And I believe Michael Pintard, under his leadership and with the people that he's bringing around him, some of us have gained some experience in the last cabinet. Some of us will bring new experiences to his cabinet. Bahamian people so desire to give us an opportunity to govern this country once more. I believe we are going to make a difference. And I have said to my leader, and I say this to you and the Bahamian people publicly, if we're not making a difference, there's no point in us being there.
Amen. We can take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to take the last couple of calls and try to wrap up close to 4 o'clock so we don't ease into Naughty's time. This is Pearly on Guardian Radio 96.9 Z Live, filling in for Javal Galang, my special guest, Senator the Honorable Darren Henfield. Be back in a minute.
When looking for a financial institution that provides retirement savings, education savings, loans, and more, you want to be able to find one that you can trust. At National Workers Cooperative Credit Union, we provide a vehicle for the financial and social empowerment through various financial services, serving you in Nassau, Andrus, Grand Bahama, and Barrie Islands. Inquire about your needs today at 397-5800 or visit our website at www.nwccubahamas.com.
Nassau Cruise Board, Kalik, and Ricardo Rum presents the May Festival. Join us on Saturday, July the 19th from 3 p.m. to 12 a.m. for a cultural affair hosted by Kenny and the Mighty Pencil. Get ready for live performances by Avi, Fanshawn, Ancient Man, and more. Plus music by the best DJs. Enjoy entertainment by the Royal Bahamas Police Force Band, a Junkanoo Rush Out, giveaways, and tasty Bahamian food. Admission is only $10, so don't miss out. Drink responsibly and celebrate proudly.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything?
Guns?
Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Z Live here at Pearly in the House on Guardian Radio 96.9. My special guest, Senator the Honorable Darren Henfield. Call you on the air. Hello. I guess we lost that call. Call you on the air. Hello. Check it. Call you on the air.
Yeah, I'm Pearly.
Hey.
The senator's still with you, right?
Senator's still with me. He ain't gone nowhere.
Hey, Senator. Yeah, this Dennis. Been taught schoolmate and childhood friend from Yale Elder.
Senator, you still there, right?
Afternoon to you, sir.
Okay. Go ahead.
Still there, right?
Yeah, he's here. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, Dennis.
Senator, you say that you are an attorney, right?
Yes, he is. He's a lawyer.
I was the one that called early and spoke about void ab initio.
Okay.
The caller called and wanted to know if I was correct. I called back, you know, for some clarification and elucidation on the point of this Nationality Act. Senator, just to make the point, so people can exercise some equanimity and understanding, the law on bigamy, a bigamist can never be right? No matter how long it is, and bigamy can never be validated. That is my point on how the Nationality Act. Point number two, you said that you all intend to go back like 4 years and try and question the Nationality Act, especially like what happened in the last 4 years. Just remember, you all will have to establish locus standi, and they may get your actions or step thrown out of court because they could make the point that years before, between the last couple of years, you all may challenge it, and between 1973 and your case will probably fall weak. You see what I'm saying? You would have to challenge it from the inception of the Nationality Act. I want you to just chime in and say, if this Nationality Act basically stand in the same context like a bigamist, or can be correct at any point in time, however long it takes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Senator.
No, sir. A bigamist can never be correct at any point in time, right? In the Bahamas, the law is that you should have one wife and not two.
I was going to say something, but I ain't going to say it. I can hold back.
Well, some people have other views, right?
Go ahead.
I take the point. I take the point. But what we want to do is establish a commission, an immigration commission, that will be populated by members of parliament, members of the government and the opposition, and principally the majority being members from civil society, people who have an interest in how this thing is done in the Bahamas, how we're governed in this regard as relates to immigration, where so many things can go wrong, go by favor.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you've been born in the Bahamas to foreign parents, and you're waiting on a long, long line to get your citizenship, and then people just arrive here and they get them overnight, it seems, in some instances. So not only, I mean, you're disenfranchised to an entitlement that the Constitution gives you for someone who just showed up through some whatever means they get.
Did I lose you?
If I come and we believe in an independent commission,
uh-huh.
We'll be able to do that objectively for us, devoid of the overrated position of politics being placed in there.
Okay. Carly Ondea, how you doing?
Hi, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Good afternoon, Senator Hemphill. I just wanted to thank you for addressing this problem. This is certainly a vexing situation in the Bahamas. And you mentioned something, and I know that we all rely on our laws and the portion of the law which speaks to being born to foreign parents. I think that if it has not already been defined, that we need to define what foreign parents include. And does that include foreign parents? Does that include illegal immigrants or parents that would have came to the Bahamas by illegal means? Because I don't think that someone who has broken the law should benefit from the law, and neither should their heirs. You know, it's unfair for someone to come into a country and be able to benefit with citizenship for their children, knowing a loophole in our law as an advantage. And I know that, like you said, once they have that, they can prove that they were born here. And even though they were born to foreign parents, whether those parents came here legally or legally, it doesn't seem to matter. It seems that they become eligible.
Currently, the Constitution provides that a child born in the Bahamas after 1973, neither of whose parents is a citizen of the Bahamas, this is what the Constitution says in Article 7 now, shall be entitled upon making application, shall be the imperative, entitled upon making application on attaining his the age of 18 years or within 12 months thereafter, it gives you a year, right? In such a manner as may be prescribed to be registered as a citizen of the Bahamas. And so that's something that is in the supreme law of the Bahamas. So you can be a foreigner who come here by any means, and you're in the Bahamas. And you're in the Bahamas, and you have a child that is born here. And that is of the soil, jus soli and jus sanguinis. So jus soli is of the soil. Jus sanguinis, I think it is, if I remember correctly, is of the blood. And so this child born of the soil of the Bahamas is entitled to become a citizen at the age of 18.
So that's the law as it stands. Is this something an FNM government look at through a referendum?
The leader indicated yesterday is something that we must discuss more deliberately within our caucus, but the leader indicated yesterday that our policy will be that no person who any shall be entitled.
Right,
or shall be allowed to go on and get citizenship in the Bahamas.
Right, right.
So that is my concern.
Because it seems as if, you know, they're hell bent on the words foreign parents and you know, whether you're legal or illegally, and I know our law does not make any provisions as it relates to being illegal immigrants.
No, but, the Constitution does not distinguish.
I'm hoping that this government, moving forward, the FNM government, will be able to rectify.
you know.
That is something we will have to look at, but the Constitution does not distinguish whether you're here legally or illegally. All it says is to foreign parents.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, that is, like I said, this is the whole vaccine situation, and I believe that it's a loophole, and it's been taken advantage of, you know.
Yes, most Bahamians feel that way.
Yeah, and I feel the same way that you do, you know. We want to hold on to our birthright, and not just for ourselves, but for our generations coming forward, and particularly our grandchildren. You know, you want to be able to have something here that's Bahamian and that they can actually benefit from, you know. And unfortunately for us, we have Bahamians who are selling our birthright. The problem, because we're going to always have persons who are going to compromise our laws, you know, and continue to cause this problem to fester on and fester on for years and years. And we got, you know, unless we get to the root of it, and I believe the root problem will be conducting audits of our Foreign Affairs Office and our Department of Immigration. Let's find out what documents are being presented, you know, to those departments that make these persons eligible for our passports, eligible to be in the Bahamas. You know, especially when we know some of those persons would have gotten illegally, and then when they get you illegally, they're still able to apply for work permit. And our laws are clear on how that process is when you apply for a work permit to work here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So we have to get to the root of the problem in order to deal with this. And I think that, well, I believe that this government will be able to do that.
We believe with our whole heart that this is the whole law. Treason for someone to sell Bahamian documents to someone who is not entitled to have them. We believe that you act against the interests of your people, you act against the interests of your sovereignty and your country when you do these kinds of things. And so we believe that justice must be swift upon you. You must be dealt with under the full weight of the law. That is our belief.
Yes, and I agree with you 100%. And I think if we want to put a dent in this problem, the source.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in. Appreciate your call. Thank you so much. Senator, that's the end of our time. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for sharing some light on your views.
I wonder if I could say something before you,
yes,
as you leave.
You have the last say.
Forget it in what he's time.
You have the last say.
The leader introduced SHIELD yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And SHIELD, the acronym is meant to secure our land and rid it of illegal occupation. We intend to heighten surveillance and strengthen our strategic partnerships with our partners, the U.S. and others. Political abuse that has allegedly caused people to have documents that ought not to have them. End unfairness and enforce stronger penalties. E. We intend to limit the approvals contract days in the Bahamas. That's what we intend to do. And we intend to disclose all of the information Bahamians should have access to in this country as it relates to these issues of immigration. And thank you for having me. God bless you.
Thank you for joining me. I do appreciate it. Take care. This has been Pearly filling in for Zhivago lying on ZLive, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My good buddy and friend is up next, Naughty on Talking Heads. We'll see you tomorrow.
And MJ. Then I just can't keep living this way. So